Welcome to the Dean Digs Deeper podcast. I'm Interim Dean Bob Crockett from the College of Engineering at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. Each episode, I'm going to dig deeper into college activities and share them with you, from clubs and student projects to startups and ideas that are changing the world. Today, I'm here with recent mechanical engineering graduate Matthew Eggers. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your program, and why we're interviewing you today?
Again, really happy to be here. I just graduated in the spring 2025.
Awesome.
I was actually a transfer student, so I transferred from Napa Valley College. So I'm natively from the Bay Area, and there I got like an AS in trade machine. So it's a AS in a trade machining degree. So that's a 2-year program where it's what all like trade machinists go through.
So you came here pretty well prepared.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was great. And so I love getting very hands on, and I enjoy welding, machining, all that stuff, 3D printing. So Cal Poly looked good because it was very hands on, you know, learn by doing. And so that seemed to be appropriate for my skill set and what my interests were.
So so tell us about Magic Texture. How the idea started, who's part of the team, what's everyone's role, what it's all about.
Sure. Yeah. No, Magic Texture got started by my brother and two friends of ours, Sean LaRochelle and Michael LaRochelle. So what pretty much happened was, back during COVID, they wanted to build this backyard roller coaster because, you know, you couldn't visit theme parks and things like that. And so what they ended up doing was building one in their backyard.
I imagine anytime you're talking about building your own backyard roller coaster, there's some pretty specialized skills that are involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, so pretty much there were certain things like they needed animatronics to be designed. And my brother John was good friends with Michael and Sean already. And so he was like, oh, Matthew's good at designing and 3D printing things, so he might be able to help you guys out with the animatronics. So with Matterhorn, which is the first roller coaster they did, which was, again, it was a small miniature backyard version of the Disneyland Matterhorn.
So this isn't just moving around in a cart. This
no.
The full-blown...
Yeah, this is 250 feet of steel track. It had a full mountain, like an entire like Matterhorn mountain style with a waterfall. It ended up an animatronic, full lift hill, everything completely electric, everything like that.
Wow.
It was incredible. And so what they recruited me to work on specifically was the animatronic, because they wanted to make a mini version of the Yeti that they have in the Disneyland version. And so that would jump out and scare people as they're flying by.
So they're going to do this right.
Yeah, they wanted full authenticity. It was super cool. So that was the start of it. What got interesting was the next roller coaster. So they wanted to build a second one that was bigger and better than the Matterhorn the following year. And this is where, since they now had seen some of my skill sets, they wanted to take me in more for like doing a larger portion of the project. So on this one, due to my background trade experience, they wanted me to work on being in charge of the actual just general metal fabrication. So pretty much I took it upon myself to be in charge of effectively all the mechanical and electrical implementation.
Wow.
So that is because on this one of the things we wanted to make sure was that it's very safe. So it's completely automated.
Okay.
So it had a full PLC that would pretty much run the entire coaster completely hands-free. So it had everything from a seatbelt check to like 15 sensors along the track, along with a bunch of different actuators and like brakes and stuff like that. So if anything was detected being correct, it would just stop the ride down and shut it down.
Yeah.
So it was incredibly safe. By far the safest backyard roller coaster ever made, which isn't necessarily a very high bar, but it was a big undertaking. That's when we brought in our electrical engineer, Mike, who's worked in a lot of facilities for a lot of big companies doing controls for them. So he has always loved backyard roller coasters in general. So he actually is the one who threw together the PLC and programmed it and made it fully, make sense within the system. There's an animatronic, we love our animatronics. There's another animatronic in here that's a cowboy talking with, that's talking to you as the rider. And there's pretty much some like verbal cues he does that you're supposed to shoot a lantern. So we had some lanterns up on the wall with IR sensors. And so we gave them this, Western style, revolver. And inside of it had an IR light, like in a TV remote. And so you would aim that at a lantern. When you shot it, you got launched out of the cape. So we had this massive pneumatic piston that would launch them up to about 25 miles an hour in like half a second, something crazy. And so it was one of the only roller coasters we're aware of where your actions directly affect how the ride goes.
Yeah.
Where you are the one launching the coaster. It's not some fake thing. It's waiting for the response.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the first roller coaster. Okay. So now your partners have a roller coaster in the backyard that is, as you said, the safest backyard roller coaster in the country, which is a low bar. Now they're building a second, yep, also in their backyard. They must have a pretty large backyard.
So we actually had to take down the first roller coaster.
Okay.
And the new one ended up being just effectively better in every way. Pretty much where that then leads us is then realizing we have so much interest from that one. Many people on, because we posted quite a few YouTube videos on these things, both of them have got over, over 200,000 views. So not massive, but still got some traction. A lot of people expressed interest in wanting these in, whether that's their, you know, their small family entertainment center or in their backyard. So we got a lot of people expecting that. Some people want to purchase it just right out, purchase it from us. So we weren't comfortable doing that because we hadn't built it to the safety standards of, you know, having someone who's not us operating it.
Yeah.
But it gave us the inspiration to start to explore the options of actually making this for other people.
That's wonderful. So it started out as something cool to do.
I mean, exactly.
It was for you and your team and to share with the world through YouTube, but it really sounds like it's evolved into something that is much more than that.
Exactly. No, you hit it dead on.
So then tell me about Magic Texture and what's going on with that now and how that has evolved.
Absolutely. One of the coolest projects that we just got involved with was with Mark Rober. So for those who aren't familiar, Mark Rober is the biggest engineering YouTuber on YouTube. And he also is just one of the biggest YouTube individuals, something like 15th or something like that of the YouTube individuals, you know, excluding companies. And so pretty much what happened was he reached out to another backyard roller coaster YouTuber, Paul Gregg. And pretty much Paul Gregg did was, he's like, what you guys want is a more industry grade steel roller coaster. And the people who build those the best are Magic Texture. So he pretty much referred Mark Rober to us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And with that, that's how we got into communication with Mark Rober. And one of the big things for me was we had to figure out how to launch this coaster. We had never done a stationary launch from the station coaster before where we didn't want a lift hill because there's just not very much space and we just wouldn't have fit the narrative of the video they wanted to create. And so we had to do a launch coaster, but I had to launch from the station. I had to get in right in, just launch out of it.
So tell me a little bit about what a launch station actually is.
So that's effectively where, it's a term I just coined for it. Okay. It's effectively where normally you'd have a lift hill normally the roller coaster ride vehicle, you know, leave the station and go up this hill where this chain would drag it up the hill.
Sure.
And then gravity fed all the way down.
Yep.
With this type of roller coaster, you are just on flat ground, just, you know, starting at the bottom, and then you get launched. It propels itself out of the station quickly, accelerates really fast, and then goes up the hill, and then the rest is gravity fed.
Okay.
But instead of having a somewhat boring lift hill where you have to be, you know, slowly go up and then drop off the top, you immediately start just going
fast. Okay.
It's very fast.
Yeah.
And so the problem with this is that just creating a launch in designing a launch in effectively about 3 days that I knew would work, that could not fail, because if I tested it and it didn't work, there'd be no time to buy more parts.
So is this electric or pneumatic or magnetic or what technology did you choose?
Those are all options that could work. We went with electric. Effectively, the idea of this type of coasters were instead of having the track drag, you know, the coaster up to its height and drop it off, or if you've been on pretty much any roller coaster, they have like wheels on the track, you know, that drive the roller, the ride vehicle along. So what we wanted to do differently, because we found it was a lot cheaper when running the cost analysis, was to have the cart drive itself.
So the power is on the cart, not on the track.
Correct. Which what this allows you to do is mass produce the track really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
But then the ride vehicle, you can make it be the more expensive, fancy part.
That's smart.
And the reason you can do that is because lithium batteries nowadays are way better than they were when roller coasters, you know, were most commonly being made.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where a roller coaster, a normal theme park roller coaster, might have to run a couple thousand times per day. So you don't really have, they're very heavy. You don't really have time to charge up the batteries necessarily. And they're just very, very heavy, you know, moving 30 people. But with ours, it can be very light. We're looking at less than 200 runs per day.
Yeah.
So it just makes sense that if you just put the motor on the ride vehicle, you can just buy lithium batteries. You don't have to wire up 212, you know, to your full bolts to your station. Like you don't need an electrician to come in. You just set it on a track. As we say, the track is dumb, the ride vehicle is smart. Now, the ride vehicle has all the sensors, it has all the safety features. And so we wanted to make this with the case with the Mark Rober project.
Okay.
So I had to pretty much design in effectively 3 days a system that would launch this ride vehicle up to what we estimate about 20 miles an hour in about 30 feet weighing about 900 pounds, 800 pounds-ish with two adult riders on it. So it can make it up a 9.5-foot hill, and it had to just work first try. So you can imagine a little bit of stress from this project.
I can imagine.
So, effectively what I just ended up going with was I created this spreadsheet with some help from, you know, design two classes I've taken, like with Mackin.
Great.
And created these spreadsheets where it did all the calculations for me of things like how fast would it have to go from kinetic energy standpoint to make it up the hill.
Yeah.
And so I knew, okay, if I need to go 20 miles an hour to make it up this hill, then I know in this short 30-foot station, I need to make it 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And then I know how powerful the motors need to be, how powerful the batteries need to be.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was I did the calculations and I was like, this should be able to do with three motors.
Okay.
Or technically two motors, but I was like barely with two motors. So I'll throw three motors on.
And that's so like, how many kilowatts is that motor?
So each motor is roughly 3.5 kilowatts.
Okay.
They're effectively go-kart motors. Yeah. Because that is, again, we had to rely on things that could arrive in about 3 days, Amazon shipping. So we weren't getting any proprietary fancy parts. We had to get everything just off the shelf. So I was thinking two motors would be good enough. But then I was like, this is a Mark Roper project, no room for error. I'll just do four.
Sure, why not?
So I just upped it to four, which ended up being roughly, because these motors peak at higher than what they're rated for, something like 16 kilowatts or something like that,
yeah.
And which is a decent amount of power. And I geared it to just go 20 miles an hour. So if you know anything about horsepower torque, this thing had a lot of torque, about the torque of a Toyota Corolla. So and a thing that weighed about 800 pounds. So it just ended up, this four motors ended up going down to one, just on two spots, because this were drove one wheel. What we did was we put one strip of wood along the base of the track that we then put like skateboard style traction tape on, because again, easy to arrive in time.
Yeah.
And so then it used that traction tape and it just pretty much would just launch itself using that rail.
Yeah.
And we had I threw a spring on it, on a pivot point, so the spring would force the wheel into the ground. So if there's some variances in the height, it would kind of like if you've seen like a bicycle, you know, suspension, it's constantly forcing that back wheel into the track.
Yeah.
That way, if there's some height variation, it could do it.
And so this is the first time that design existed. You have a less than 2-week deadline to do it. You have to get the parts and assemble it, and I assume try it out before you ship it up to Sunnyvale. There's a lot riding on this.
Yes, there was a lot, because if this system didn't work, now we have a large team of people that were all helping. We flew out of many people to help out with this from all over the country. But the thing is, they were working on, you know, the woodworking and the track and things like that, the supports. I was the only one working on the launch, which means if the launch failed, everything else doesn't work. Nothing works about this coaster if it can't get up that first hill.
Well, welcome to the world of technology entrepreneurship.
Yep, exactly. So the initial concept of the Mark Roper video and the concept that ended up being made was that this is for a Make-A-Wish kid. And the idea of the video is that In this video, which if you watch it, you'll see, is Mark Roper is with this kid, and what he effectively wants to do is make the best birthday ever. And the way of doing that is he knows the kid likes Phineas and Ferb a lot, so he ends up making a Phineas and Ferb birthday party. And Mark Roper's way of doing that is taking elements from multiple different Phineas and Ferb episodes,
okay,
and putting them inside his warehouse where he does, you know, all his videos.
Sure.
And so what that entailed was they had multiple things happening. They had a 360 swing that was powered by these little electric jet thrusters that you could go all the way around on, which is taken from a video. Then they also fill up the warehouse with snow, because in another episode, they end up filling up their backyard, I think, with snow. And so that's what he did also, which ended up being some incredibly high amount of snow. Like it was like six truckloads of ice.
Oh, yeah.
To fill up that warehouse. It was an insane amount. And then the last thing, which is I think the first episode of Phineas and Ferb, is the roller coaster.
Sure.
And so they wanted a backyard roller coaster to mimic the one in Phineas and Ferb. So those were all things that we were working around, because we never had a roller coaster in snow. That's for sure.
And what a neat cause for that. That's really wonderful.
Yeah,
we're able to put all that creative engineering energy to such an amazing use.
Yeah. So if you want to watch the videos about any of these projects, we have them up on our YouTube channel. Just Magic Texture, MAGICTECTURE, which that should be available in the description, other places like that.
Great.
And if you're curious about specifically my elements of the project or just a lot of the projects I've worked on in the past, I have my own website, MatthewAggersPortfolio.com.
Okay.
Which is just my name, portfolio.com. So that is where I go into some detail about the specifics of these projects and some of my other work.
That's wonderful, because I'm sure some of our audience would like to dig deeper. That's what this podcast is all about. And you've sure been We really appreciate the fact that you've been so candid with your experience and really shared a little taste of what it's like to launch your first roller coaster, which is not something that everybody gets to do. This has been so wonderful. It's given our audience a real taste for an adventure that you're on. And we really want to keep in touch to make sure that we see your progress and make sure to let us know as things evolve in your company.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Matthew. And again, our audience can find more information on the website. We're available at PolyEngineering on X and Instagram. And thank you for joining us on this episode of Dean Digs Deeper.